Well, you're listening to Bible Through the Year 2017, which is a weekly devotion to supplement the annual Bible reading plan for Cornerstone Baptist Church in Wylie, Texas. I am Justin Wheeler. I'm the preaching pastor for Cornerstone, and I'm excited because this is week 29, and we're going to be reading some things this week that are really encouraging, really helpful, and really sobering, and they make us consider deeply our devotion to the Lord and the steps that we've put in place to guard our hearts from disobedience and even idolatry. We're going to be reading 2 Kings chapter 18, 2 Chronicles 29 through 31. And what we're seeing in these historical books at those particular points is we're going to be seeing the Assyrians come into Israel and begin to take over. And then we're going to read in Isaiah chapter 13 through 30. We're going to read about the sins of the people that led to this, how God feels about that, what God thinks about that, what God's going to do as a result. We're going to be reading the book of Hosea, which is a very challenging, very difficult prophetic book, but it's going to show us something about our own hearts. And then we're going to be reading Psalm 48 as we continue to try to read all the way through the book of Psalms in this chronological plan. So let me introduce, in week 29, let me introduce the new book that we're going to be reading. We've been reading in 2 Kings for a while. We know the trajectory there. We're on the downhill slide of Israel's failure or fall into idolatry and then ultimately captivity and exile. We're reading the same thing in Chronicles. We're just seeing it from a different perspective. We've been reading through the prophet Isaiah. We started that last week. We read the first 12 chapters, and we got a little bit of a background, a little bit of an introduction to that book. But today, or this week, we're going to be reading through the book of Hosea, which is a brand new book for us. And let me give you a little bit of information about Hosea. Hosea was a prophet in northern Israel. And he's being called by God to speak on behalf of God during the reign of one of the most wicked kings in Israel's history, Jeroboam II. And the sin of Jeroboam led God to giving Israel over to their enemies, to the Assyrian army, who came and defeated Israel and then carried them into captivity. And you can read about that. We talked about it last week, but you can read about it in 2 Kings 14 through 17. You kind of look back at that and see how that happened. But Hosea, as a prophet, he lived through Israel's downfall. And his book is a collection of his prophecies that were written down over a long period, a period of 25 years. So he saw all of this take place, and God spoke to him so that his ministry to the people of God would be directly from God in that scenario, in that situation. But there's something else going on in the book of Hosea that's really odd, and it's the fact that Hosea is commanded by God to marry a woman who is a prostitute. He is to marry a woman named Gomer, and this relationship is going to prove to be incredibly painful for Hosea. I mean, the two get married and then they have children together. But along the way, Gomer proves unfaithful. She commits adultery over and over again. But God tells Hosea not to abandon his cheating wife. Hosea is to go after her. He's to forgive her. He's to pay all of her debts. And then he's to bring her home and love her. And this is just a hard story to get our minds around. It's a hard story to read, but it's a hard story for us to understand. And yet, God makes it clear that this story points beyond itself. The story of Hosea and Gomer is a prophetic symbol of God's own relationship with Israel. God is the faithful husband who looks on at his adulterous bride, but he doesn't stop loving and he doesn't stop caring for her. He still pursues her despite her sin. But why does God do this? It's not because Israel is worthy of his love, but rather it's due to God's abundant covenant love and compassion for his people. I mean, in the end, we learn that God's love is more amazing than we ever really thought possible. And if we see ourselves in the actions and in the person of Gomer, this unfaithful wife, then we come to understand something else, that our sin is far greater than we really want to care to admit. And in the end, we learn that God's covenant love is more powerful than his people's sin. In chapter 11, we read about the hope that exists for the future. Like, God is a loving father with a rebellious son, but the day is coming, and we read about it in chapter 14, the day is coming when God will heal his people of all their adultery, of all their idolatry, of all their sin. And when this happens, he will be able to bring them into a relationship and love them fully. So that's what we're going to read about. That's what we're going to see as we read through the book of Hosea. But we'll get to that a little bit more at the end when we start praying. But here's what I want us to do. I want us to meditate on something. I mean, the situation in Israel is bad. But what was it that led to that spiritual situation in Israel? I mean, what was it that led to God giving his people over to their enemies? Well, the downfall of Israel as a nation was well underway, and we've been reading about this for weeks. It didn't happen overnight, though. I mean, we've been reading about all the wicked kings that have ruled in Israel or in Judah. Every now and then, we read about a king who does what is right in the eyes of the Lord, but overwhelmingly, the kings are wicked men. They do what is right in their own eyes. But it's not just kings who are turning away from God. In 2 Kings chapter 17, we read that the people were just as guilty as their leaders. Here's what the text says in 2 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 6. It says, "The ninth year of Hosea, the king of Assyria captured Samaria, and he carried the Israelites away to Assyria and placed them in Halah and on the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the cities of the Medes. And this occurred because the people of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God. They had sinned against the Lord who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh the king of Egypt, and had feared other gods and walked in the custom of the nations whom the Lord had driven out before the people of Israel." See, this is the issue. The issue is not just that these kings did wicked things. The issue is that these people have sinned against the Lord as well. This Assyrian exile that we're reading about in 2 Kings and in Chronicles, it's not just due to the kings, it's due to the sins of the people as well. They have turned their back on the covenant that they made with God. And if we want to know the specifics, all we need to do is read over 2 Kings chapter 17. In verse 23 and through the end of the chapter, they worshiped in the high places. They built all idols to false gods. They served those idols. They bowed down and worshiped the Baals. They even stopped, according to verse 14, they even stopped believing in the Lord. They made golden calves and placed them in temples and began to worship them. Their spiritual condition was complete apostasy. Now we know this. We know that there is still a remnant of true believers in Israel. And that has more to do with God's promise to keep his people faithful than it does with the faithfulness of those people. But there's still a remnant of true believers in Israel. And the next king is actually one of those few who do what is right in the sight of the Lord. But the thing I want us to think about, the thing that I want us to meditate on, is the near complete abandonment of God by the people. And this started when things were great. It didn't start when things were bad. It started when things were great. If you can think back to when Solomon was on the throne, it started then when there was peace in the land and everybody was wealthy and everybody had food and the nation was at a place of prominence in that entire region. And then the slide began. And the chronicler, 2 Kings and 1 in 2 Chronicles, he's writing the history and he's seeking to inform a new generation. He's looking back on this and he's writing to a new generation of Israelites. And he needs those Israelites, he needs that generation to see the failures of the past in the hopes that they will be faithful in the present. You know, it's a sad thing when we think back to those who walked away from the faith. If you've been a believer very long, you've seen it. You've seen those who have left the church, those who have wandered into sin and failed to repent or refused to repent. You've seen those who've turned away from the faith altogether, and it is a fearful thing to think of what eternity will be like for them. But the point of this sad history is to encourage us to remain faithful to God. the writer of this book is writing under the inspiration of God, and God shows us these things because he wants to motivate us to pursue a confident relationship with him that's not based on our performance, but our trust in God's grace. And he wants us to walk with and worship him alone. And so don't take that for granted, church. Take some time to meditate on the slow drift away from God that in the end brought Israel to ruin and exile. I mean, think about how they went off track. They followed wicked leaders. They abandoned God's word. They indulged in their own sin and worldliness. And think about this. What can you and I do? What can we do to guard our hearts against the same thing happening in our lifetime? That's what I want to encourage you to meditate on this week. Now, let's turn our attention to something we can discuss, and I want to turn our attention back to the book of Hosea. Now, in Hosea, God describes what his people are like, and it is not a flattering picture. Gomer is the prophet's wife, but she prefers the company of other men. She is unfaithful. She is an adulteress. And I can't begin to imagine what this must have been like for Hosea. To know that your wife isn't where she should be, that she isn't doing what she should be doing, that she's, you know, while you're at home taking care of the kids, she's out seeking the companionship and the intimacy that she wants from another man. I struggle personally. I struggle to find words that would accurately communicate what that must have been like for him. But through this pain, God wanted to show Hosea something profound about divine love. And God wants us to learn this lesson through him and through this book. Each time Gomer would leave and go after another lover, God sent Hosea to go out and to find her. And in some cases, he even had to pay her debts and bring her home and clean her up and love her again. Now, the whole story is sad and painful to think about, but the story of Hosea and Gomer, it points beyond itself. It points to the relationship between God and his people. God is in the position of the prophet. He is the faithful one, and his wife, his spouse, the people of God, are the ones that have gone and abandoned their Redeemer. And we see this throughout Israel's history. We can go all the way back and look at the judges, the period of the judges, and see the same thing happening. What happened is that they stopped loving and stopped worshiping Yahweh, and they began to love and worship the false gods of the pagan nations. And the metaphor that God uses here, it's quite striking. Israel abandoned their lover and went in search of another lover. And in response, God is going to allow judgment to fall on them in the form of discipline. Israel is going to reap what they have sown. They have sown the wind, and they're going to reap the whirlwind. That comes straight out of Hosea. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 13 says this, "You have plowed iniquity. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your own way." But despite their sin and their much deserved discipline, I mean, if you look at it and you go all the way back to the covenant that God made with his people, he told them, if you abandon me, if you fail to worship me, if you go after other gods, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to discipline you by giving you over to your enemy so that they can remind you of your need of me. They deserved this discipline, but despite their sin and much deserved discipline, God still loves his people. He remembers them. He looks on them, he remembers them like when they were a child. He remembers his love for them, and there will come a day when his anger is turned from them. And in that day, here's what we read in Hosea 14, verse 7, "They shall return, the people shall return, and they shall dwell beneath my shadow," God says. "They shall flourish like the grain, they shall blossom like the vine, and their fame shall be like the wine of Lebanon." That is amazing love, friends. God remains faithful even when his people are faithless. God's steadfast love remains even when our love is directed at others. What amazing grace. Now, don't move on too quickly from this truth. It's profound, and I'm not going to deal with all the little details of this, because God does call them to repentance in the discipline that he pours out on them. But But let's think deeply just about this love. God's love for us is far greater than our sin. Our sin is no match for the love of God. His love is steadfast, immovable, faithful. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Find someone in your home, in your small group, in the church, even maybe at work. Find someone to discuss this with and marvel together at the goodness of God. Now finally, let's think about what we might pray through this week. At some level, the downfall of Israel came about because they failed to take the warnings of God seriously. Like I mentioned earlier, God warned his people that if they were faithful to the covenant that he had made with them, then he would bless them. But if they broke the covenant, he was going to discipline them. And that is exactly what we are seeing happen as we're reading this particular portion of God's word. Israel simply did not take God's word seriously. And I don't mean they didn't take God's word in a general sense seriously. What I mean is that they acted as though the specific warnings weren't true. They didn't think judgment would fall on them. They didn't think God would actually give them over to the pagan nations. They didn't take his word seriously. And here's the reality. That same problem exists for us today. It exists inside the church and it exists outside the church. In Isaiah chapter 13, verses 9 through 11, God says, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes." And he's introducing the day of the Lord as a day of judgment. And in this passage, Isaiah 13, God warns the nation of Babylon that the day of judgment will fall upon sinners. And on that day, no one will be able to stand against God. "The wrath of God is coming," he says. "And our only hope, the world's only hope, is to humble themselves before God, repent of our sin against God, and to trust in Christ to save us from the guilt of our sin." And this picture in Isaiah of the judgment of the Lord, the day of the Lord coming on the nation of Babylon, it's really a small picture of what's really going to happen in the end. In the end of days, the final day of judgment is going to come. It hasn't come yet, but it will come. And it is closer today than it was yesterday and the day we first believed. And so here's what I want us to do. Let's pray for our own hearts to remain faithful to the Word of God and the truth of the gospel. Let's not be lulled to sleep or enticed away to other lovers like Israel was. Pray that we would be faithful as a people and as a church to preach the message of the gospel to all. And also, let's do this. Let's pray for those friends and family members and co-workers and everything else. Pray for those individuals in our lives who don't have a relationship with Christ, that they would come to know Him, trust Him, love Him, and serve Him before that day comes. If you want to learn more about Cornerstone Baptist Church, you can find us online at cornerstonewiley.org. You can follow us on Twitter or Instagram at CBCWiley. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstonewiley. You can also subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Google Play to stay up to date on all the new content. Thanks for listening.